Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the government is being urged to act as quickly as possible to address an anomaly which has seen thousands of people lose out on pension entitlements. A West Donegal councillor says there is an unparalleled tradition of voluntary and community work in West Donegal. A government-backed task force is necessary to address poverty levels. The Road Traffic Amendment Bill came before the Dáil last night, where TDs voted in favour of enforcing changes to drink driving penalties. And a Finn Valley councillor says clarity is needed on the timetable for road repairs in Ballybuffet and Stranorler. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Road Traffic Amendment Bill came before the Dáil last night, where TDs voted in favour of enforcing changes to drink driving penalties. The bill proposes automatic disqualification for motorists convicted of driving over the legal limit and will now come before the Seanad. TDs voted in favour by 85 votes to 8 with 37 abstentions. Mary Clinton, founder of ACART, has welcomed the success of the bill and rejects the argument that those residing in rural Ireland will be left in isolation if it is passed.
It's another hurdle crossed, but it's not the end of the road yet. We have, it goes to the Senate now, and we have other hurdles to cross yet, but at least a success so far, so good. I'm so happy and delighted for all those families who have lost people on the roads to drink drivers. I hope it's some comfort for them.
Some arguments in the Dáil about this being an attack on rural Ireland. This essentially means that a lot of people will find themselves even more lonely, even more isolated. You don't accept that?
Donal, I've never accepted that all through the campaign, and I'm on it day and night, non-stop, lobbying everybody all over the country since beginning of July, and I have never, ever accepted the argument about rural Ireland, because I have always said, and my father used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. There's always, if people want to get to a pub, there's always a means and way that they can get there. I've never yet known anyone who would have been inclined to go to the pub that failed to get there. So, I mean, rural transport, there has been more laid on. I know it's not enough, but there has been more TransLink laid on, more transport for late at night for people to get to venues and places like the pub. And I always said there's always a family member, a friend, a neighbour, someone that will take a person to the pub and back if they need to get there. So I've never, ever bought into the rural Ireland isolation argument.
Meanwhile, the Dáil debate on abortion continues this evening with the Eighth Amendment under scrutiny. TDs are debating whether we should repeal a part of the Constitution protecting the right to life of the unborn. The majority of last night's speakers were pro-repeal. Speaking on his return to the Dáil, Donegal Independent Deputy Thomas Pringle says that while he is supportive of the Eighth Amendment Committee recommendations, he feels the 12-week limit on abortion request is too restrictive.
I believe it doesn't go far enough, and I'm disappointed that unrestricted abortion provision only goes to 12 weeks. I believe that legislation should provide for access to abortion after 12 weeks on broader grounds. My reason for this is that once we start introducing restrictions, inevitably someone will fall through the cracks, and term limits inevitably become political and moral barriers which end up affecting those most vulnerable. We need to acknowledge that every situation is unique and that we should support women no matter what choice they make about their bodies. For me, it's a fundamental human right for someone to enjoy bodily autonomy, but right now in this country, only men can enjoy this right.
Talks to restore power sharing in the North will get underway next week. The new Northern Secretary says the five main parties will be involved in discussions along with the government. Northern Ireland's been without a functioning executive for more than a year, but there was still no clarity on a definitive deadline. Karen Bradley would only say if there is progress within weeks, the British government will have to consider its options.
These include setting a budget for 2018-19, the future of MLA pay, the prospect of a further election, which I continue to keep under review, and ultimately other arrangements to ensure that Northern Ireland is able to benefit from the good government that its people both need and deserve.
The government is being urged to act as quickly as possible to address an anomaly which has seen thousands of people, many of them women, lose out on pension entitlements because of changes in the way they were calculated in 2012. Donegal Deputy and Enlascon Corla Pathacope Gallagher says this has led to financial hardship in many cases. He says some people have lost up to €1,500 per annum, and that's unacceptable. Minister Regina Doherty says the issue is being discussed this week, and Deputy Gallagher is stressing the need for progress.
The minister in the Dáil yesterday confirmed that the report that was made available would be discussed by a subcommittee of the Cabinet today and by the Cabinet next week. And we do know that it will cost 78 to 80 million in the first year and 15, 20 million each year after that. So there is a cost in Exchequer. Now, there's no funding provided this year, but I do believe that the government will have to rectify this anomaly, and they will have to take a decision next week in relation to this. And I would hope that it would be a favourable one.
Will people be back paid and receive money they should have received over the years as a result of this anomaly?
The 60 to 70 million which I referred to would include payments retrospectively. So we'll just have to wait and see what the subcommittee decide today. But the minister did say to us yesterday in the chamber that she would make the report available irrespective of the decision. But there seems to be unanimity right across the board, and I recall the Minister for Finance saying some time ago that this was all bonkers. So I would hope that he is the one who will have to provide the money. So I would hope that he will follow through.
A West Donegal councillor says while there is an unparalleled tradition of voluntary and community work in West Donegal, a government-backed task force is necessary to address poverty levels in the area. A recent Pubble report found the area continues to have high levels of deprivation, and Councillor Mary Tredd Gallagher says unless there is a focused response, that will not change. Speaking earlier to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show, Councillor Gallagher said Donegal County Council and Uterus na Gaeltachta cannot coordinate a response on their own. She says there must be a collective input from health, education and other sectors to make the area attractive for people to settle.
I would say nowhere in the world has more voluntary people working on the ground than what we have here in West Donegal, and they're putting their heart and soul into it, but it's a responsibility of the state, and this task force should be led by the state and it should be resourced by the state. To turn this all around, we need investment. The road from the low to the entities is getting investment, and that's very welcome, and we have an awful lot of people who have invested their own money in this area. There are things, very, very good things happen. However, when you look at this report, we have issues that we need to address. And we're not going to be able to address them without having the HSE sitting around the table.
There has to be
educators
plan.
And say, how do we do this together? And not just about jobs, because you have to look at the life and the quality of life for the people living here. Mm. We need more nursing home beds. We need our community hospitals to be upgraded. If we don't do something, Greg, this isn't going to change. And we're going to be going through this.
And it's a 30-year plan. This is not a 5-year, 2-year thing. This is something that has to be set out for... our children's children almost.
That's exactly where we need to get to. And we need to give people a reason who are away, a reason to come home. And one of the biggest issues is housing. We need to sort out the housing problem that we have here in West Donegal. In my opinion, if we build the homes and they're affordable, people will make a choice to live in a rural Gaeltacht area. Because from my own experience, there's nowhere better in the world to live. Mm. There's nowhere better in the world to rear a family.
The HSE has apologised to a Tipperary family for the deaths of a father and son due to separate shortcomings in their care. €25,000 in damages was awarded for the death of Eddie Lonergan, and €900,000 settlement was approved for his son PJ's death. Frank Greeny reports.
74-year-old Eddie Lonergan died by suicide a day after being discharged from the psychiatric unit at St Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny in January 2013. The family's lawyers described his discharge as wholly unsatisfactory. The hospital apologised to his wife Esther for shortcomings in the care he received before his death, and afterwards she said she hoped lessons had been learned.
Just feel let down by them, and it happened twice to the family in 16 months. I think, you know, they will have to learn something from this. Somebody should be learning. This shouldn't happen to somebody else.
Separately, her son PJ died from a heart attack 16 months later after being discharged from the ED at South Tipperary General Hospital. Lawyers for his son Mark said he shouldn't have been discharged either, and a letter of apology was also read out to him on behalf of the hospital. Afterwards, solicitor for the Lonergans, Keane O'Carroll, said families shouldn't have to wait so long for these kinds of apologies.
The repeated lesson that people ask the health service to learn: acknowledge early and make the pain a little bit easier for those who've lost so much.
Frank Graney at the High Court.
A Finn Valley councillor says clarity is needed on the timetable for road repairs in Ballybuffet and Stranorler. Councillor Patrick McGowan is asking for an update at next week's Stranorler Municipal District meeting, saying there is a lack of information and understanding about what is happening, particularly with so many projects taking place on the outskirts. Irish Water is due to lay new sewage pipes with a promised road improvement scheme after that. Councillor McGowan says with no movement on the long-awaited bypass, the streets within the urban area are in need of immediate work.
All the traffic from Derry to Galway have to go through 24 hours a day. Big, heavy lorries come through the streets. So it's happening very rapidly, and all the old seams and cracks and underground services are all becoming exposed now. So, like, even this year, we were told that the maintenance money has been cut by 30%. For the National Primary Roads, and that's not good enough. So this week now, John O'Gorman has told me that they're making an application to the NRA or TIA to get additional money to do patchwork, not fill potholes, because the potholes won't get a chance for the heavy lorries. It needs to be patched. Plus, I have also asked them, is it possible that one contractor next year could lay the sewer and do the roadworks, rather than Irish Water starting sometime in mid or beginning of 2019 and then the council, TAI coming in afterwards on a separate contract, that the one contractor could do the two jobs, and this would save a year's work and would save an awful lot of inconvenience for traffic, pedestrians, for everybody. And that's what I'm hoping to do. But the one thing they need is clarity, because it's been going on the last 6 or 7 months and people are getting very, very angry and frustrated, and rightly so.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2018 and gear up for all the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five. Time now for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Republic of Ireland striker John Walters is facing a fresh spell on the sidelines. The Burnley forward has undergone a cartilage operation and faces 8 weeks out. Walters has only managed 9 minutes as a substitute after returning from a 4-month absence due to a separate knee injury. His manager, Sean Dyche, says it was better they acted on the injury sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's very, very, a very minor kind of split, you know, literally millimetres, but it was annoying him. And you know, at his age, he knows when it's right or wrong. So, he, you know, him and the surgeon decided it's best to do it. You know, it's a minor tidy up, but it still needed doing.
Elsewhere, Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger says Alexis Sanchez's much-anticipated move to Manchester United is likely to happen. He's also confirmed the Chile forward will join Jose Mourinho's side in exchange for United's Henrik Mkhitaryan. And a proposed move for Andy Carroll to Chelsea could be off. The West Ham striker is understood to have shown signs of an ankle injury on a scan and could face up to 6 weeks out of action. Chelsea had reportedly made contact with West Ham about the striker earlier this week. And Stoke, they have signed Greek defender Kostas Stafeletis on loan for the rest of the season. He's joined from German Bundesliga side Augsburg. And locally, or back at home, Limerick, they have signed winger Billy Dennehy ahead of the new season. The two-time league winner with Shamrock Rovers was most recently with St Patrick's Athletic. And the Republic of Ireland women's side, they'll be hoping to start the new year with a positive result. Colin Bell's side are in the Azores for the first of two friendlies with Portugal this week. Donegal players Tyler Toland, Roma McLaughlin, Amy Boyle-Kiar and Amber Barrett will be looking for game time this week. Kickoff is 7 o'clock Irish time tonight. Moving on to snooker, and Mark Allen has beaten defending champion Ronnie O'Sullivan in comprehensive fashion at the Masters. The world number 8 defeated O'Sullivan by 6-1 to reach the semi-finals. O'Sullivan says he was still suffering from a virus and is relieved he can now rest up for the weekend. Later on tonight at 7 o'clock, Kieran Wilson, he takes on Mark Williams. In golf, Rory McIlroy made a steady start to the sport after 3 months away. In his return, he carried a flawless opening round of 69 to 5. finished day one of the HSBC Championship in Abu Dhabi on 3 under par. He shot a 69. Paul Dunne, he's a shot better off on 4 under par following a 68, while Graham McDowell, he's on 2 under par. The joint leaders in Abu Dhabi are Tommy Fleetwood and Japan's Hideto Tanihara. Both are on 6 under par after 66s today. And the PGA Tour is getting underway tonight. The Career Builder Challenge is taking place in La Quinta this weekend. Seamus Power is the only Irish player in action. Phil Mickelson, he's the main attraction in the tonight's field. Moving on to tennis, and Novak Djokovic has had to overcome 40 degree heat on the Rod Laver Arena to reach round 3 of the Australian Open. The 14th seed beat Gael Monfils in 4 sets earlier on today, and Roger Federer's path to round 3 was navigated in under 2 hours with a 3 set win over Germany's Jan Lennard Struff. It's Richard Gasquet next for the defending champion, but 9th seed Stan Wawrinka battled knee trouble before losing in straight sets to Tennis Sandgren of the United States. And women's third seed Gabrine Muguruza is also out. She was beaten in straight sets by Taipei's Su Wuxi. And top seed Simona Halep, she beat Eugenie Bouchard by 6-2, 6-2, while Maria Sharapova, she'll face Angelique Kerber in round 3 following her respective straight sets wins today over Anastasia Savatsova and Donna Kecic. Moving on to rugby, in Ireland and Ulster flanker Chris Henry has had out at Munster's recruitment of Gerhan Grobler, describing it as unacceptable. The South African lock failed a drugs test in 2014 and served a 2-year ban. Grobler has yet to appear for the senior team, but has been named on the Munster A side for tomorrow's British and Irish Cup match against the Ospreys in Cork. And in ladies rugby, New Ireland head coach Adam Griggs has named a trimmed down squad of 25 for Sunday's Six Nations warm-up game with Wales. 13 names have been cut from the original training panel of 38 named in December. Among the 25 are 7 uncapped players. Munster's Ciara Griffin will captain the side. Finally for this evening, in cricket, Ireland got the better of a high-scoring affair with Scotland to claim the Desert Tri Series. Paul Sterling top scored for Ireland with 74, as Graham Ford's side equaled their highest ever total of 331 runs. In reply, the Scots gave Ireland a fright before eventually being bowled out for 307. Ireland won the match by just 24 runs. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Safety concern has been raised over the condition of a number of bridges in Carndonagh that were severely damaged by the floods on August the 22nd. Local councillor Albert Doherty told an Inishowe municipal district meeting this week that problems at the Circular Bridge are causing erosion to nearby properties, while no entry signs have been erected on the bridge connecting Dona Park and the Carndonagh Hospital grounds. Councillor Doherty is calling for works on these bridges to be prioritised.
I was quite local in relation to the town of Carndonagh and the Circular Bridge and the bridge between Dona Park and the hospital grounds, and the perimeter and the grounds of St Patrick's Boys School have all continued to remain as issues that must be dealt with, and we are finding it difficult to find the appropriate personnel to come on board and deliver improvements. I made a significant appeal for the bridge at the hospital grounds at Dona Park to receive priority attention, because it has been used by residents assisting in bringing their children over to the local Gaird school. It has become an area where locals have enjoyed their walk to and from both sides of the town, and I've appealed for council, HSC and all the relevant stakeholders to come together to prioritise a project here.
And as you did say, they are bridges that are used regularly by residents.
Very much so. Our circular road bridge, it is a protected structure. It has been severely damaged after August 22nd. It will be a line of rerouting around the town in relation to the Gulf All-Ireland coming in July. So we need to get works there. I've asked that maybe pedestrian access be considered in relation to safety, and any road widening that can be done could be done. And likewise, further down, the Donna River still has continued to erode council property at council housing in Close Fadraig, and that too must be dealt with as soon as is possible.
A senior Garda says issues raised at the O'Higgins inquiry were fairly explosive and that the Garda Commissioner was quite aware of that. But Chief Superintendent Fergus Healy did not accept that he should have advised the Commissioner to rethink the legal strategy to attack the motivation of Maurice McCabe. Juliet Gash reports.
Chief Superintendent Fergus Healy was appointed to represent Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan at the O'Higgins Commission of Investigation in April of 2015. He's been answering questions at the Disclosures Tribunal about the decision to attack the motivation of Maurice McCabe at the Commission and whether the Commissioner authorised this strategy. Chief Superintendent Healy gave evidence of multiple phone calls to Noreen O'Sullivan during a recess at the inquiry, which culminated in the Commissioner giving the go-ahead to pursue this line of questioning after having sought, but not getting, an adjournment. Fergus Healy said the situation was very tense, and while he didn't use the words political dynamite to describe it to the Commissioner, as her solicitor had, he said developments at the inquiry were fairly explosive. Earlier, Tribunal Chairperson Peter Charlton said everyone was agreed that the false allegation of sexual abuse was not relied on at the Commission, but the question remained whether Noreen O'Sullivan relied on inappropriate grounds to discredit Maurice McCabe. Juliet Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
For weather now, there will be a mix of clear spells on further showers tonight, which will turn increasingly to sleet and snow, and lowest temperatures of -1 to 2 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a West Donegal councillor says while there is an unparalleled tradition of voluntary and community work in West Donegal, a government-backed task force is necessary to address poverty levels in the area. The Dáil debate on abortion continues this evening with the Eighth Amendment under scrutiny. Speaking on his return to the Dáil, Donegal Independent Deputy Thomas Pringle says that while he is supportive of the Eighth Amendment Committee recommendations, he feels a 12-week limit on abortion requests is too restrictive. The Road Traffic Amendment Bill came before the Dáil last night, where TDs voted in favour of enforcing changes to drink driving penalties. The bill proposes automatic disqualification for motorists convicted of driving over the limit and will now come before the Seanad. And a Finn Valley councillor says clarity is needed on the timetable for road repairs in Ballybofey and Stranorler. Councillor Patrick McGowan is asking for an update, saying there is a lack of information and understanding about what is happening, particularly with so many projects taking place on the outskirts. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, January the 18th. The death has occurred in Dunbar, Scotland, of Joseph Mulhern, brother of Miley Mulhern, Glashahoe. Remains are arriving at Christ the King Church, Gortahork, tomorrow evening between 6:30 and 7:00. Funeral mass on Saturday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Inquiries to Gallagher Funeral Directors, Gortahork. The death has taken place at Beech Hill Manor Nursing Homeless Fannin of Jim McLaughlin, late of Key Street, Moville and Kingsford, Derry. Remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, with burial in the City Cemetery, Derry at approximately 1:30. Family flowers only, donations if desired to dementia research, care of Liam Collins Funeral Director or any family member. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred at the Donegal Hospice of Sally Devlin, Tulla, Clonmany. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice or Nazareth House Fawn, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors, Clonmany. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. The death has taken place at University Hospital Galway off Paddy Doherty, Upper Dromore, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday at 12:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs for 1 o'clock funeral mass. Interment afterwards to Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to the intensive care unit, University Hospital Galway, care of any family member. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of George Conaghan, Montreneath, Mount Charles, County Donegal. Remains are reposing at Gallagher's Funeral Home, Station Road, Mount Charles, with removal to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Mount Charles, this evening to arrive at 7:30 to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Frost's Old Graveyard. The death has taken place in Scotland of Frank Danks Campbell. His remains will rest at his daughter Joan and son-in-law Harold Quigley's home at Crehan Quigley's Point from tomorrow evening. His funeral will take place on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in St Finian's Church of Ireland Greencastle, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, donations if desired to St Finian's Church of Ireland Greencastle, care of Adair and Neely funeral directors or any family member. The death has taken place at Brindley Manor Nursing Home Convoy of Molly Lucas, Cavan Upper, Killigordon. Remains are reposing at her son Leonard's home, Cavan House, Cavan Upper, Killigordon. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock for service in Stranorla Presbyterian Church at 11:30. Burial afterwards in the Church of Ireland Graveyard, Stranorla. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Brindley Manor Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, care of Terence McClintock Funeral Director, Town Parks Convoy or any family member. House private at the request of the deceased. Family and friends welcome. And the sudden death has taken place of Helen McIntyre, a Hilly Buncrana. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15, going to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery.